back in open session. So so we have five number one, and then four number 10 and number 11. So regarding the pumping the brakes, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So regarding that, it sounds like maybe there might be a question as to an interim consent agreement,
yes.
or maybe some questions that we might have for Dr. Bella Pianta. You would, I guess, be the intermediary as far as delivering things, since...
Yeah, regarding the in any kind of offer or agreement that was extended, I would advise her, and then if she chose to sign it, she would sign it, and then we'd return it to Victoria.
So what...
My motion?
What discussion or thoughts or motions or whatever?
Motion would be twofold. Okay. To offer a consent agreement or amended consent agreement. No, it's just
interim? Would it be interim?
Offer an amended CA, right?
An amended, you would amend the interim consent agreement.
Okay, amend the interim consent agreement to do two things. One is to put her license on indefinite suspension, and two is to ask her to voluntarily surrender her license.
That's almost what we would do. Is it would be to, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead, please.
It would be to, if I'm hearing you correctly, Jane, it would be to offer a amended interim consent agreement for indefinite suspension, and she could only come back to the board when she can demonstrate that she is both competent and safe to practice, and that would include undergoing any types of evaluations the board deems appropriate to establish that. In the alternative, to sign a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender of her license, that would be recorded and treated as a revocation.
Yes, that's it.
So that is essentially...
I'm so moved.
What we could put together as that, so we have a motion, but to for Mr. Carey to present to Dr. Bella Pianta.
Yes, okay. If not signed within 14 days.
Then it just comes back to
the back.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second, twofold.
Yes.
Any other discussion from board members? Should we do a roll call on that one?
Need to,
okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Dr. James.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
I'm an aye. And Dr. Wright.
Aye.
Okay.
Unanimous.
So motion passes. So the board will provide that to you.
That's right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So now we have IIRs and I'm going to look and see which ones Mr. Stoll is hostage for here.
To try and get him off the hook.
Want to get rid of me?
No, we'll keep you for our duration if you want. Are you
waiting? I don't know if we can do
each other's work. They're just monitoring until the call to the public.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
all right.
Oh,
well,
wow. Okay.
Then we'll get there. We will get there. I promise.
We haven't
okay.
had that in a while.
Okay. So, case. So, section 2, number 2, case 24-120, regarding Carla Smith, DVM. Tracy, would you please read the front load?
Absolutely. Case 24-120, the complainants are Bill and Krista Brooks. The respondent is Carla Smith, DVM. On March 4th, 2024, James, an approximately 15-year-old male mixed canine, was presented to respondent for humane euthanasia. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent did not place the catheter in the dog prior to attempting euthanasia. The dog was held down, causing undue stress. Complainant was not advised on what to expect with the sedative and post-euthanasia injection, and complainant was not allowed to hold the dog during the procedure, responded, refuted complainant's claims, and provided a video of the entire euthanasia appointment. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved, vote of 3-0.
Thank you. So Mr. Stoll is here. Are you
monitoring?
I like patiently. Okay. All right. So monitoring, no complainant is present. So Dr. Nosley, you are the lead on this case.
Okay. This is one of those cases where it's unfortunate that the parties aren't here. Mm-hmm. In reading all the material, listening to the audio, and viewing this video, it's very apparent that this euthanasia didn't go well for either the complainant or the respondent. And we've had numerous cases like this, euthanasia, highly emotional for all those involved. And owners don't completely understand or completely comprehend sometimes what's happening. And that's compounded by emotion and their focus on their pet. So I think it's then even more up to the professional in the exchange to guide them through the process. I don't agree with the statements of the complainant fabricating things, stating untruths or outrageous statements. It's more a matter of perspective. We all wish there was one standard way to perform euthanasia that would be ideal for all involved, and we all know that's impossible. There is not. And every euthanasia is different. Certainly different patients, but different owners and their needs too. One statement that jumped out at me from the investigative committee said, someone said the procedure can be, and I would substitute, should be, tailored to the particular pet and pet owner's needs. And I think that could have been done much better in this situation. Just one example, if a owner wants a catheter, you do it. Talk to them about it or what's going to happen, but you don't try to talk them out of it. That was concerning. The situation was complicated because this complainant had a totally different experience at another hospital. So she was expecting something that wasn't happening in this particular situation. The issue, the IV catheter, that is totally veterinarian's preference. I've been doing this a long time. I hate to say the number of euthanasias that I've done in my career. I hope that I can still go to heaven, but there may be other factors. Some veterinarians will not do a euthanasia without a catheter, except in rare circumstances. There you are. Others will prefer not to, and the reason they do is because of the stress on the owner. Usually the animal is taken out of the room and the IV catheter placed, although we learned in this case maybe that's not true in all cases. I can't imagine it, but she had evidence in another euthanasia that occurred. So there are pros and cons of each. If you have a catheter and you know it's in place, things are going to go much smoother. You can regulate the speed at which you give it. There are a lot of advantages to having a catheter. There are disadvantages to not placing a catheter in that you've got to hit the vein, and you've got to stay in the vein. And then sometimes if you don't have a catheter, you tend to get a little faster, animal moves. But it's veterinary preference. In this case, the veterinarian's preference was to not place a catheter, even after the complainant asked for it. There was quite a discussion about it, and it seemed to me almost trying to talk her out of it. The respondent seemed to advance the notion that you either place a catheter or you sedate. And I don't understand why they're exclusive. Very often, we sedate to put the catheter in after we get permission from the owner because of the animal and the moving around and so forth. And then there was the issue of the sedation itself. The respondent used the dexmedetomidine as her sedation once it was decided to go that way. And this is when things kind of went off the rails and became a major point of concern with the complainant. When the complainant was asked to step back, I think things kind of went downhill from that moment on. And from viewing the video, it didn't seem necessary to me at all that the complainant be asked to step back. The tech had perfect restraint on the pet. If it was going to bite, it wasn't going to bite her. She didn't have his hand on his mouth, so why do you look at her and tell her to step back at this point? And the reason that's important is because that's when we got to this point of major contention, when she was asked to step back. I think the sedation itself went very well. Sometimes with dexmedetomidine, there's twitching and reaction to sound. I prefer, if I'm going to use that, I would prefer to use it with an opioid to try to minimize some of that, because owners don't understand that, right? The twitching and the moving and the reacting to sound. So I prefer to use it with an opioid. But the sedation, still, it went pretty well. The euthanasia itself, overall, it went well. I think it was unfortunate that there was a lot of agonal movements for quite a while, even after the staff left. And that's a problem. If the staff isn't even in the room and the animal is twitching and doing agonal, and you're not there to comfort them and right. say, it was a problem. It was not handled well. And I think that may very well have contributed to the emotional stress. That being said, I wanted to say that to hopefully give the complainant some understanding of how things worked and how things can be different, but she wasn't here, so maybe she'll listen to it. Because I really couldn't find a violation. I don't like the way it was done. One thing I didn't mention, and I want to throw that in, but she will listen. The conversation regarding what happens if there is a bite involving sending the head in, totally inappropriate, not handled well at all. She stated there's no federal law as it regards, she said there, federal law says I'll have to, if he bites somebody, I'll have to send his head in. There's no federal law in regards to animal bites. Federal law regarding animals has to do with importing them. The biting and the quarantining and the testing, that's all local, state and local issues.
The CDC has their recommendations, but that's still not law.
Right. Yeah. Why does it matter? It's inflammatory when you say, hey, this is federal law. It's inflammatory. That's why it matters. And that's my overall impression of how poorly this was handled by the respondent. But I still see no action by the respondent that rises to the level of a violation, violating our practice act. So I would make the motion to dismiss with no violation, and if anybody wants to discuss a letter of concern, then I would be certainly open to that.
Yeah,
because it's hard. As a veterinarian, you get to determine how you practice, and right. humane euthanasia and your process is probably unique, but I know that was the part I had a hard time with. I kind of cringe, you know, whenever
it
you...
It was cringeworthy.
Yeah, when you... It's kind of like saying that's policy, right? Like, it just sometimes makes people upset unnecessarily. And this is a really highly emotional situation, and it just got more emotional. So I would say that And yes, we know most of the time when we're here, it's because of communication or the lack thereof. But in this case, it was just too much. You know, it's just, and I agree with you. I didn't have the word for it, but yeah, inflammatory is probably the best choice. So, I mean, to me, it would be to have like procedures that can be communicated to the pet owner ahead of time so that they understand their experience, because simply asking them if they've had their pet euthanized before isn't enough, because their experience, like you said, this client had a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. And so talking through the process, or at least educating your team to do that before you go into the room, so that they understand what's going to happen and what might happen. And the investigative committee kind of did touch on that a little bit, you know, on preparing them for what they might see or what might happen. Right. But I think that could have prevented a lot of this. And again, doesn't mean that there weren't the emotions and the grief that's warranted, but.
Yeah, I struggled with, there were a lot of things that, conversations that were totally appropriate. There were a lot that weren't. So does that rise to a level of being discourteous? And I just couldn't get there. It was in poor taste, but it wasn't discourteous.
And that's where I have a hard time even with letter of concern, because letter of concern is if you keep doing something like this, there's a potential for a violation. And it's like, well, crappy customer service is not necessarily a violation.
But if you keep doing this, you may keep coming before the board.
Well, exactly.
What a letter of concern is, because it doesn't mean that there is a violation. It means that may keep having bad experiences, and when your clients have bad experiences.
That's why we issue this action could lead to a violation.
Sure could.
I don't know.
If you cut off a dog's head because you said it was federal, it was a federal law, you come before us, we're going to make sure that you
know. It's still a violation, though, if you did it because the county told you to.
Well, that's not federal.
No, it doesn't matter if you say that or not. The county still told you to do it. So like I said, so I don't know if a letter of concern, because I can't even tie it to a violation other than courteous verbal interchange. So I'm like, I don't know, that's a stretch for even to apply it to anything. But I do think that things need to change, and probably you need to listen to this conversation. And if there's a better way of getting us to listen to it, say, you probably want to relook at the ways you do these things, and maybe also think about what you say.
I think communication should be addressed.
Is it a letter of concern? I don't know.
We probably, if they respondent was here, there would be maybe some
But does that change?
Reason to not issue a letter of concern, because I think our concerns were very well.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's the purpose of a letter of concern, that you're not here, so you get a punitive letter of concern.
Well, it's not punitive. A letter of concern isn't punitive.
It's not punitive.
No, it's not punitive. No.
It still goes on their record, just not publicly. It's still there. It's still searchable.
Cautionary. Council will encourage her to listen to this.
That's why we pay council to be here.
We don't.
True, that's true. That was just a joke. But I think council talking to them is a better option than a letter of concern, because again, a letter of concern is there could be a violation. I think courteous verbal interchange, which can be used to argue anything.
I don't look at it that way. A letter of concern.
No, that's fine. But that's
a letter of concern is we're concerned. We don't think there was a violation, but we're concerned there may be if this behavior continues. And so we're going to issue a letter of concern because we're concerned.
But what is the violation if it continues?
But there isn't a motion.
Am I incorrect on the letter of concern?
Yeah, let's slow up a little bit. Was there a motion for a letter of concern?
And I just seconded.
That's what I was going to ask.
Thank you.
Nikki, our letter of concern would be to evaluate your euthanasia.
Well, I know mine would,
in terms of your conversation.
Yeah, mine would be to have clear communication with the pet owner about expectations or the process of the humane euthanasia, because it kind of, I mean, again, there was no violation, but it kind of haphazardly went about, I guess. Yeah. So that would be.
So would that? That's our letter of concern.
The letter of concern is in the conversation with the client regarding the
humane euthanasia process, what to expect during the process.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're not using a letter of concern for a Yelp review. I don't want to substitute that. And that's kind of almost what it is.
You can still do a Yelp review.
No, no, but that's it sounds like that's kind of what we're using the letter of concern for here. And it's like that's not really the intent of the letter of concern.
So you're not concerned?
No, I mean, I'm concerned, but I think that counsel is good, but I mean, is there a violation? Just, well, I mean, there's a lot of doctors that just don't have a good
bedside manner. But that letter of concern is not about
finding a violation.
Is there a call for a vote?
Yes, it's been, motion was seconded.
Okay, we have a motion and a second voice vote. We'll see how that goes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Dr. James?
She's still there?
I'm an aye.
Oh. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So motion passes to dismiss with no violation and issue a letter of concern.
Would you be able to call me in between now? I didn't want to leave in the middle of the case.
Oh, we just have to add Dr. Bright to our phone.
Yeah.
Appearances. We'll give Todd a minute to.
I stayed longer, but also.
When did we get it in?
Don't be. It's not worth it. Then you have to be put us on hold.
True,
or get your ticket.
Okay.
Do you have to report a speeding ticket? I think it has to be. You get go criminal.